Kumiko shrugged.
I'm sure she's just somebody he happened to meet. He seems to have so many contacts these days.
I'll bet.
He says she possesses amazing powers, but that she's pretty strange.
Kumiko poked at her macaroni casserole.
What was her name again?
Multicano, I said. She practiced some kind of religious austerities on Malta.
That's it, Multicano. What did you think of her?
Hard to say. I looked at my hands resting on the table. At least she wasn't boring. And that's a good thing. I mean, the world's full of things we can't explain, and somebody's got to fill that vacuum. Better to have somebody who isn't boring than somebody who is, right? Like Mr. Honda, for example. Kumiko laughed out loud at the mention of Mr. Honda.
Oh, he was a wonderful old man, don't you think? I liked him a lot.
Me too, I said. For about a year after we were married, Kumiko and I used to visit the home of old Mr. Honda once a month. A practitioner of spirit possession, he was one of the Wataya family's favorite medium types. But he was terrifically hard of hearing. Even with his hearing aid, he could only just make out what we said to him. We had to shout so loud, our voices would rattle the shoji paper. I used to wonder if he could hear what the spirit said to him if he was so hard of hearing, but perhaps it worked the other way. The worse your ears, the better you could hear the words of the spirits. He had lost his hearing in the war. A non-commissioned officer with Japan's Manchurian garrison, the Kwantung Army, he had suffered burst eardrums when an artillery shell or a hand grenade or something exploded nearby during a battle with a combined Soviet Outer Mongolian unit at Nomonhan on the border between Outer Mongolia and Manchuria. Our visits to Mr. Honda's place were not prompted by a belief in his spiritual powers. I'd never been interested in such things, and Kumiko placed far less trust in supernatural matters than either her parents or her brother. She did have a touch of superstition, and she could be upset by an ominous prognostication, but she never went out of her way to involve herself in spiritual affairs. The only reason we went to see Mr. Honda was because her father ordered us to. It was the one condition he set for us to marry. True, it was a rather bizarre condition, but we went along with it to avoid complications. Neither of us had expected an easy time from her family. Her father was a government official, the younger son of a not very well-to-do farm family in Niigata. He had attended the prestigious Tokyo University on a scholarship, graduated with honors, and become an elite member of the Ministry of Transport. This was all very admirable, but as is so often the case with men who have made it like this, he was arrogant and self-righteous. Accustomed to giving orders, he harbored not the slightest doubt concerning the values of the world to which he belonged. For him, hierarchy was everything. He bowed to superior authority without question, and he trampled those beneath him without hesitation. Neither Kumiko nor I believed that a man like that would accept a poor 24-year-old nobody like me, without position or pedigree, decent grades or future promise, as a marriage partner for his daughter. We thought that after her parents turned us down, we'd get married on our own and have nothing to do with them. Still, I did the right thing. I observed form and went to ask Kumiko's parents for her hand in marriage. To say that their reception was cool would be an understatement. The doors of all the world's refrigerators seemed to have been thrown open at once. That they gave us their permission in the end, with reluctance, but in a near miraculous turn of events, was thanks entirely to Mr. Honda. He asked them everything they had learned about me, and in the end, he declared that if their daughter was going to get married, I was the best possible partner for her, that if she wanted to marry me, they could only invite terrible consequences by opposing the match. Kumiko's parents had absolute faith in Mr. Honda at the time, and so there was nothing for it but to accept me as their daughter's husband. I was always the outsider, though, the uninvited guest. Kumiko and I would visit their home and have dinner with them twice a month with mechanical regularity. This was a truly loathsome experience, situated at the precise mid-